episode of Aussie Cinema Talk with me, Tim.
And me, Dom.
And this episode, we are going to do Gary L. Keady's 1988 film, Sons of Steel. Happening, Dom?
What's happening, Tim? I mean, happening.
Happening.
This is one of the strangest movies I think we've ever done.
And it's one of the ones I've been most excited for, I think.
Yeah, I knew you'd like it. I knew you'd enjoy it. I did try to get a copy to Ryan, frequent collaborator.
Would have been lovely to have Ryan here, actually. Right up his alley, too.
He would love it, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, how do we approach this movie? I mean, it is really a lot to take in. It's like a fantasy sci-fi kind of rock and roll musical,
rock opera. Yeah.
The reason I have a copy of this in the first place, I'll give you a quick backstory.
Please do.
Shouts out to my friend Tatiana and Nick. We used to always go to the cult cinema Mondays, and then it went to Tuesdays. They used to run it at the Annandale Hotel, and I'd go every week with those guys, and it was great. You'd go dollar coin donation or whatever, and they'd put on some weird
stuff. You would have seen some cool films then, I guess.
A lot of rubbish, like absolute trash, but one night, without really reading the program or anything, we showed up and the projector was set up and there was a microphone in front of the curtain that they'd play the movies on. And it was a big deal that they were going to be broadcasting this movie, whoa, right?
Not a regular
curtain. They had the director there. They had several of the actors there. And then halfway between the movie, Jeff Duff, who plays the...
Duffy. Yeah.
The scientist.
AKA Duffy. Yeah, we'll get to him later.
He did a song because he's a really, really good David Bowie impersonator. And he performed one of his own songs, but in very David Bowie-esque.
He actually got to meet David Bowie, you know, Duffy did, when Bowie was living in Sydney.
Yeah, I saw him on Spicks and Specs. He was a guest on that.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. And I did a bit more research on him, like, after that night. And he also was in a sketch on the Paul Hogan Show, a black and white sketch.
No way.
Just basically Paul Hogan ragging on gay folk.
I did recognise him, but I couldn't locate where I knew Duffy from. So maybe it was from old Hogues, the back catalogue that we had to do when we...
Leading up to...
Yeah, diving into Dundee.
Well,
so what was happening in 1988? Did you do any?
I did a little bit. We already have done like Fast Talking, and that was around 88, 89, 90. Mm-hmm. Those 3 years, I'm pretty sure we've kind of done. But it was basically, we had Bob Hawke as the PM, and there was kind of a pretty positive feeling towards the country's future, I think. You know, we had Expo 88. That just an exhibition of what Australia had to offer.
We spoke about that last, yeah. But that's kind of funny, though. It's kind of ironic that at that point in time, everything seemed okay, and then this movie came out, which is a bit of a post-apocalyptic Sydney, Australia that we see.
Yeah, we do. And it is a very Sydney movie. It's very deliberately, specifically set in Sydney. But we've got, what's his name here? Gary L. Keady.
Yeah. Writer, director,
costume designer, music director,
composer. The list goes on. This was his film. This was his baby. I also noticed in the credits that another Keady popped up who became assistant director and was the bass player in one point of the movie. He played the bass player.
But
it was another Keady, so I figured like his brother's in on it too. But the Keady, I thought maybe Keady was in the band, Brother Keady, and like this is Gary's attempt at trying to sort of give the band a bit of prop, like lift him up and take him somewhere.
Well, let's get into that. Okay, so we've got a band. The movie kind of revolves around the front man of a band. And the band's name is...
Black Alice.
Black Alice. And the front man is Black Alice.
Black Alice.
Let's kind of describe this actor character for the listeners.
Yeah, we got to start, eh? Like,
Remember, it is the 80s. So their music is very like hair metal, kind of LA rock.
Yeah.
Really, you know? So,
and operatic, like it's sort of like really ballad.
It's like, say, like, God, what are their names? Steven Tyler.
Aerosmith,
like that kind of stuff, maybe.
Well, he's got a really shrill singing voice. Yeah, that's sort of his style. It's that like heavy metal, like almost like wincy, white, like saying, yeah! Really there you up go. There, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. So he's got the metal band there. Rob Hartley is Black Alice, so he's the front.
Rob Hartley, right. Now, before we press on, this is allegedly speaking, this is something that I got through somebody that was there on the night of the
movie, the watch, the
Cult Cinema Cult night, Cinema yeah. Night. And apparently, Hartley is in jail now for pushing his partner off a cliff.
Well, I'm not surprised.
I don't know if that's true, but the...
Look at the guy. He looks like he pushed a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, he does. He looks pretty rough. The guy, Jay Katz and Miss Death, who host the night, shouts out to them. They're still doing it. They're still trying to make it work. It's really hard in Sydney at the moment. I mean, we just had... we just lost a minister for the arts, got rolled into transport minister. So
no more money coming in.
Nah, it's just they don't give a shit about the arts. So yeah, good on Jay Katz and Miss Death for still rolling that shit out. Cult cinema shit. I love it.
Yeah, good on you. Keep it going because we love it. We love it.
But yeah, they were trying to hook up a video link to him in prison for the night.
He would have loved it. Did it work?
They couldn't get it. I can't remember exactly why, but yeah, they for whatever reason they couldn't hook it up. But it would have been
terrific. Man, we got to get back to how this guy looks like. So he's got one of those like sort of it's almost like a pro wrestler body. Like it's kind of flabby in parts. It's kind of stocky, but he's buff as.
You can tell it's steroid abuse though.
Steroid abuse. He's got this weird hair that looks like Dracula or something. Like they've shaved a widow's peep into his already receded hairline, so it goes further back his widow's peep. And then he's got puffy hair that like falls down into like predator dread. It looks like Predator.
Yeah, totally.
And then he wears a huge coat over a puffy pirate shirt.
Yep.
With tight, obviously rock and roll like leather jeans. With huge Cuban heels.
Yeah, they're kind of like the red winkle pickers that Rick from The Young Ones would wear. And anyway, I think, that's how he looks. But then on stage, I don't know if like, it's just, I can never tell with the sound, like whether they just went and did it later or not.
Well, it's an album. Like the whole movie ended up being an album with the same name called Sons of Steel. So this is like, I don't know how hip to the jive. Tenacious D just recently, their newest album, Jack Black, like animated this really shitty movie, and then they just put music to it, but it was like a rock opera, but it was really, I don't know, I'm a big Tenacious D fan, it really let me down. It was so shit. They're just like, the songs are, but it's just like this, So yeah. I guess part of me like really enjoyed this movie for that reason. I'm like, oh, this is cool.
The soundtrack got nominated for an AFI award.
It did too, yeah, I wanted to mention
Lost out to Young Einstein, I believe, and I mean, that album went double platinum, as we discussed. So, I mean, you didn't really... You know, you're up against some tough competition.
That's it. Because we're bringing up Yahoo already, but I believe that he had something to do with this movie being made, like back in the
right.
So, well, Sons of Steel was a movie made that was based on a short film that Gary did.
Uh huh.
And the short film was called Nightmare, but that's KNIGHT. Oh, right. Nightmare, and it's a post-apocalyptic setting where they discover some archives of like what Australia was like back before, I guess, the nuclear disaster, and then a song hits and everything. But Yahoo Sirius was co-director on that, or directed it for Gary. Yeah.
I'm sure he taught Gary a lot of things.
Yeah, but far surpassed him in others. good on you, Yahoo. Sons of Steel, we've only been talking about Black Alice this whole time, so let's get into it, man. The movie opens up.
What kind of nutty you got there, by the way?
I got pistachios, they're salted. And that help yourself, good. Great.
I'll have one of those.
Mm, yeah.
Posh nut, it is.
Crunchy nuts, perfect for a podcast.
Yeah.
Very audible.
Mm. Oh, they're great, though.
When you sent me this movie and said, like, how about we do this for Aussie Cinema Talk, man? I put it on and, man, it just had me hooked
in the
first few seconds.
It's a great open for it's a real, dude, like, make you stay in your seat kind of open.
It opens with Thunderclap Newman's Call Out the Instigator, but it's played by the band Black Alice at the front. Just goes, cause the revolution's here, really shrill. Like, it's a metal version. I'm like, I love this song.
Maybe
this
we'll put in like a couple of seconds of the music. Because I feel like we might have to put in a few sound effects and hope that old Gary doesn't, you know, sue us or whatever.
Exactly. Well, if anyone's still listening, you know, this will have you hooked. Drop it right.
Oh, and it's like a stage performance, right? And he's got women up there doing like choreographed dancing. They bend over and they've got like the word "now" written on their arses.
But they're wearing like army jackets and stuff. Yep. No bottoms at all. And very provocative. He rides a dick rocket, like it's
literally is shaped like a cock.
Made in USA, it's this huge cock rocket that actually like gets erect and launches off stage, and he's riding it. So we're getting into some, like, this is already for a low budget film, really shit. This is like pretty fucking out there. This is where we're introduced to the awful overdubbing. And the overabundant seedy grunts and shit that are in this movie.
Tim's probably better at doing the impression of Black Alice. And he's got his catchphrase is happening.
Happening. Hey, the main man, hang him. Octagon.
Happening.
Alright! What's happening, my little treasure, around whom my universe rotates?
So every time he's like just, you know, looking over to his bedside table to grab a glass of milk or something, he's just like, and then they're like, it's
accented.
No
grunts.
One makes those noises when they're doing shit like that. So
after the show, he's in bed with a woman. Happening. They're smoking a joint, and then she fucks off into the kitchen.
Yeah,
ODs.
Ducks off. I'll be right back. And then
ODs on some intravenous drug. And then we're at the hospital, and he's like going in to see this woman, right?
Yeah.
And do you remember this bit where there's a gurney comes running through with two nurses? And one is just a dude with a mustache in a nurse's outfit, and he just leans over and goes, la, 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 like with his tongue out. He's like, in a really seductive way. And
gives me young Einstein vibes, you know, the mental asylum with the fucking nurse warden in drag.
Oh, that's like, right.
Like the callback. Because they're all afraid of women. So
but then he's like, sick.
They go past another like mental patient down the corridor, and he goes, hey, Ratso, happening. And I've got a bit of a happening count going in this movie.
Oh, so do you really?
This is the first time he says happening. He's going down the corridor and happening, Ratso. And Ratso looks fucked.
Yeah, he's some muso that's just like overdone.
With third degree burns or something. He's just like, death on legs. This is where I get like the scenes and stuff. Like, I'm getting Beetlejuice vibes right now.
Really?
I'm getting Brazil. Like,
very Brazil.
It's like this real sort of like,
you can tell that it stages and like a lot of like really intense kind of dramatic lighting, you know, like a lot of colored lights. It's almost like it was filmed, you know, like when you go on a ghost train at like the Easter show or whatever, and it's like those kind of lights. It was like it was filmed in a ghost train.
What else have I got here? There's a narrator, something in the air.
For one part.
For like, one part at the very start of the movie, I thought it was like, are we going to have a narrator?
We needed one, though, because I feel like it is a very difficult movie to follow.
Yeah.
Because Black Alice's character is supposed to be an activist.
A peace activist, like...
You see this?
Yeah, ahead.
Ahead, yes.
So what? Yeah. A head, not a warhead. I'm not as dangerous as that sub out there in the harbour with 5 million innocent people living around it. You dig?
Using his music to, like, rile up some revolution.
He's a fucking arsehole, and he's really scary and, like...
Kills a bunch of people, but he's like, oh, I don't like violence. But he's like, mate, you just killed a bunch of people.
I think they should have let the narrator do a bit more. Because, we are going to try our very best to relay the plot synopsis for you as we go along.
Stick with us. You'll get an idea of what the movie is eventually.
Yeah.
Obsessed by strange premonitions after Stane's tragic death, Alice leads the octagon with retroceed devotion. His song, Something in the Air, is now number one, and its message stirs the plebs. He's a dangerous man with a quest.
Already, like, also, too, I don't know what present-day Sydney or Australia this is, but... it already seems post-apocalyptic.
Well, it was meant to be. I think it was meant to be set in the future.
Okay.
So, because there is some like kind of little flourishes of technological advances. Like, there's one bit where we see a scientist walking down the street, and there's like an alert for acid rain, and she presses a button, and she's like
got cloaks herself in this force field thing. Yeah. He goes in there. He finds out his girlfriend's OD. She's dead. Then he walks out, lights a cigarette. A trooper rocks up, and he's like, a trooper is like the police force, I guess, but he asked for an autograph, so
that's right.
It's supposed to give you an idea of like who Black Alice is, like real famous dude. And he's like, oh, can you make it out to Suggs Dick? And he's like, Suggs Dick? And he goes, no, it's my daughter's name, Suggs, Suggs Dick. And so that gives you an idea.
Yeah, these are the jokes,
the
guys.
The taste, the jokes. Oh, fantastic.
Lots of rude shit in this movie. But yeah. Remember that cop, because he'll come back later.
Oh, yeah, the dicks.
And the government, we should also mention, the government of Australia or Sydney or whatever, is meant to be... They're all dressed very similarly to like, the Nazi party. But they have this, like, instead of, like, a swastika, it's this kind of, like, weird
lightning bolt.
Yeah, lightning bolt logo. And they're all, like, you know, it's very, like, Wami Republic... Germans, like, with, you know, they've got little monocles and you know, bob haircuts and shit, like, it's very clear that it's like a Nazi inspired
and that's
thing.
Where the next scene takes us too, the bad guys, the like the Dr. Evils of this movie,
and there's like three bad guys.
There's the main woman who just seems to be like the overlord of it all, and then the other guy is that's sort of like, oh, yes, yeah, like, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah, he's a bit of a groveler.
And don't they pull Black Alice into... are we up there yet?
Because his music is doing really well. He's got, like, number one, so they're like, we need to harness his influence on
the
population. So they get him in for, like, a meeting or whatever.
Mm.
And he immediately is rude. Remember, he goes to that woman at the front desk. He's like... I bet you'd like to suck mine. Yeah. And then somebody goes, Alice.
And he goes in and he meets them and he says something about, like, picking up the pieces of the world after you cokeheads are done with it. Or something like that. And it's like really camp. These people, it's just... the Sydney welcomes the nuclear sub.
Right, yeah. So we've got, like...
Nuclear sub coming into
like Sydney. Theme in this movie, you know, the fear of nuclear war. But we get Alice again at the Octagon Club where
it's happening. Count number two. Happening number two. The Octagon Club. Happening.
And he goes in and it's pretty cool. Like, it looks like a cool club. Like, they've got that zebra wallpaper backing, and then there's a woman that's painted to look like
sort of
the backing.
Studio 54, sort of.
Yeah,
like.
And she's like writhing around this weird performance, and then he goes and meets this other rocker who is like just wearing like a leather G-string, and I think he's got makeup on and like high heels and shit, and he's like his mate or something, and it was such a pointless scene, but I enjoyed it because it was really funny, like, just to see Alice like
there was a like a part in that encounter where The guy takes the cigarette out of Alice's mouth and like puffs on it and then puts it out. And Alice is like, what'd you do that for? And he's like, oh, I thought you'd quit, Black Alice. And he goes, yeah, well, maybe I was just practicing in case I took it up again.
That's, yeah, another joke.
So Gary L. Keady, like, he composed the music, which was pretty impressive. He did the costume design, which I loved.
Very impressive.
He directed it. There's screenplay. He's done all this shit. Who wrote the fucking script? Gary, you forgot the fucking thing that, like, people follow. The script is awful. The dialogue in it. I was like, Gary, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, it's pretty dated. It's kind of, the jokes are a little bit like sub Young Ones goodies-esque. Yeah. You know, they're a bit like sort of dumb. It's like reaching really far for a little play on words.
Here's another one for you. The zebra, the dancing naked zebra girl. Hey, Black Alice, how about a little bit of hairy clam?
Not right now, darling. I'm going to have a shit on with my ass.
Like, it just...
This movie, it's again, vulgar. It's quite vulgar. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Like, from start to finish, it's quite vulgar. Like, the bit with the cock rocket, then we've seen this nude chick who's, like, offered her fanny to him. Yeah. He's like, nah. It kind of goes on like this.
And then this is where you find out that it's like, oh, we're in for a musical here. Because, like, the opening number, like, that just could have been, like, him and his band. But now he just walks out on the street. He's like singing a song. He's got his little.
It's like a music video.
Yeah, it is a music video.
I mean, like the whole movie looks like a sick music video.
And like, it fucking is. Best. Like the movie is the album that came out. Sons of Steel, every single song. This is what Keady was doing the whole time. But he's like, yeah, what does he do? He's like, there's cool shaky fast track. There's cool camera work in this, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's. He footy kicks a doll or something, a headless doll. He picks it up off the floor and footy kicks it away.
It's this very like 80s stock punk.
Footage. It cuts the stock footage of like bombs and riots. Again, like Young Ones. Mm. Sort of like this is weird.
But it's a very like Bowie-esque song. It doesn't feel like that voice is coming out of our Black Alice.
And then we got one of the scientists, I think. She's...
Hope.
So Dr. she's Hope. A good scientist, but she's working for the evil dudes. And she's like, oh, I had enough of this. I'm out of here. She gets stalked by like some dude on roller skates. It looks like a Batman goon, like a fucking asylum dude on roller skates. It totally looks
like some fucked up shit out of Gotham. Like, yeah, he's got a balaclava on. He's got this cool like Mad Max or like Warriors type jewelry and shit.
Yeah.
And he's got roller skates and it's the moving escalator underneath like the domain, like where the domain car park is. But it's like really run down, covered in graffiti. It looks so gnarly.
Yeah.
And he chases her and she escapes to a lift.
She kicks his ass though. Like
she beats him up a bit. Then we get Black Alice going to the meeting with the government, and it's the "Hey, Mr. System."
Another song. He's going straight into another song. Yep. There was a song, and then there was the clip of the scientist getting chased by the roller skating dude, and then another song, like just
straight away.
We got to fit this one in track 3.
I think this might be my favorite.
"Hey, Mr. System."
Yeah, it's got a bit too. It's got a bit of a reggae vibe.
Yeah. In fact, friends of mine, they've got an Aussie rock band. They're big in Canada now.
Give them a plug.
The Lazies.
Righto.
Yeah, Lazies. Check them out. But they've got a song called "Hey, Mr. Mister," and it's sort of in this vein. It's like, hey, reggae. Mister, mister, think you're some kind of figure. And it's like really anti-establishment.
Oh, wow.
Sort of real punk. And yeah, gave me some of Lazy's vibes.
I wonder if they've been influenced by Black Alice.
Definitely not, mate. No. I've got no idea.
This movie is so fucking hard to find. Like, I'm not even kidding. The copy I have is in a slimline case I bought from the director on the night. Because after seeing it, I was like, I'll never see that again.
Dude, but you bought it from Gary himself.
I bought it from Gary himself. Fuck. It's autographed by Gary, by Jeff Duff, and by one of the other guys.
Wow.
And it cost me $40. I remember thinking, that is so steep for a home burnt DVD. But I was like, there is literally no other way ever going to see this. And I was like, whatever, I'll get the autographs. It'll be fun.
Mate, look at us now, though. Like, someone will be messaging us, they'll listen to this podcast, I'll be like, fuck, I'll give you $50.
Yeah.
I'll give you $44.95.
Go to their fucking website. Website, because we both had a look at their website, which is still up and running, sonsofsteel.com. And Gary is still working on the story of Black Alice.
Yeah, he's got a book series out now, Sons of Steel.
Yeah, novels, little
novels.
Sci-fi novels. You know what though, as soon as I saw that, I was like, you've missed a trick here, Gary, because the whole movie is so visually stimulating. Yeah. Do a graphic novel.
Totally.
Pay some Aussie dude to draw it for you. Like, we've got some good ones out there. There's loads of underground cartoonists out there.
Let's send him a pitch. Like, we'll do a couple of panels for him, mate.
Man, I'm not the man for the job, but I know there are a lot of folk out there that could definitely do. I would totally buy a Sons of Steel comic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Better than a book. I don't know why Gary's so hung up on this. Like, why is he sticking with his story? Why don't we have any other movies from Gary?
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't we, like, what? Gary, why are you so obsessed with Sons of Steel? Like, it didn't hit home.
It's the kind of thing that should have just stayed in the 80s, you know? Yeah. It's like, that's the part of it that we love. Yeah. Is like, it's so 80s.
If you're trying to get a message out there, mate, it's not working. It's not like, you're not fucking John Marston, you know, this isn't like Tomorrow When the War Began. It's not that sort of scenario. Like,
this is rude Black Alice.
Yeah, well, you're happening. So we have the other fucking video clip, Hey Mr. System.
Yeah, and he's
shooting up Wall Street type folk. He's like, I don't know, And then cuts back to Hope the Scientist, I think, of the scientists.
Hope the Scientist gets trapped in her lab, I think, by the bad guys.
We have a key card system, like the technology, the key card. You put your key card in to open a door, a locked door, but the fucking mechanism like makes an orgasm noise when you put the key card in. It's like,
it's like such a weird touch. It is pretty vulgar, this movie. I love it though. It's so like, you just would not get away with like that being a joke anymore, you know? It's really funny just having this little time capsule of like 80s humor and what flew in the 80s.
Yeah. I forgot to mention Black Alice's 8-ball prop. He's always like walking around with his 8-ball. He's like throwing up the air, catching it and stuff.
It's such
like that.
A, like, you know what? Black Alice would be, I could see myself going on Parramatta Road, going to a bad tattoo shop and being met by Black Alice.
There's a Black Alice.
You know, because the 8-ball, it's all that like 90s biker aesthetic. He's like, he loves the 8-ball and dragons. And, you know, he's got those insane pyramid earrings. Like, those silver,
like hanging down, real spiky. Then we met with Duffy. We got Duffy now.
The big Jeff Duff.
So he is the brother scientist of Hope, but he's kind of like a bit transgender, would you say, Don?
I'd say Jeff is channeling very much Tim Curry in Rocky Horror.
Oh, yeah. With a little smidge of the Goblin King from The Labyrinth.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like we said before, he's a very accomplished David Bowie impersonator. He does shows at the Enmore Theatre every now and then. He's got albums out as well, so go to Google, check out that. Buy Jeff Duff's albums. Jeff Duff. He's still making music. He's still out there.
Cool.
This is another thing. This is a second or third hand account, so I'm not, you know, I can't verify this
allegedly,
information.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine knows him from the old days, and apparently at the end of the corridor, end of the hall in his house, he's got an enormous oil painting of himself in the nude.
Cool. I thought it was going to be like a Sons of Steel. Like,
oh no.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so he's very much like a Tim Curry type Frankenfurter character.
Yeah, you know, so like, you get him. He's he's talking about his plan to like get Black Alice or something.
This is where it starts getting a little bit complicated. It's
weird, isn't it?
It gets really. I don't know how I would change it because it is great as it is, but it is really hard to follow. And I think maybe the solution would have been a little bit of more narration because you already introduced it, put him in. Yeah, but yeah, he's got some plan, and then he like they capture Black Alice, do they?
We're getting there. They do a quick scene cut to 2127 AD.
Sydney.
So they're just like, all of a sudden you're just met with like the future and you're like, what? Why are we showing the future? I don't understand.
But the future looks like Conan the Barbarian.
It is. Like, there's literal barbarians. There's Barbarella and there's fucking Conan.
Yeah, she's like a knockoff Red Sonja. He's like...
He's hanging out with a sword and like loincloth. And he's got the handlebar moustache. He's just like your typical sort of, I'd say a class up from a caveman though.
Totally. And he looks like, both of them, their costumes look a bit like those Frank Frazetta paintings. Yeah. Those insane, you know, the big boobs, like swords, lightning. All that sort of like cool 80s shit.
What was that movie? Heavy Metal, wasn't it? Wasn't there that animated cartoon?
The cartoon of Heavy Metal. Very much.
Like that.
Yeah.
They're just like, I think they've been like human sacrifices, they've been chucked in a pit or something, so they fall down, and then it cuts back to, settle down, dude, I'm not into violence.
Yeah.
Black Alice, he's been sort of apprehended, but he's like casually walking around. Like, if Black Alice were to kill this woman right now, there wouldn't be a movie. But they're just walking around, he's uncuffed, he's just there flaunting him stuff.
But it's, again, like, what peace activist on the face of this planet injects that much steroids?
Injects that much steroids, has a girlfriend that ODs, and,
rides a fucking rocket.
Walks around
rocket
fucking eight ball. Yeah, who the
Yeah, it's like they didn't... I don't know, why is he a peace activist? Like, he looks like more of a punky sort of anarchist or something.
Maybe they're trying to explain, like, that again, the narrator would have done this. It's like, in this day and age, like, a peace activist is still a criminal. Like, we got to fight to survive.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, and Black Alice is bad, but he does bad shit for good reasons.
Like, he's broken through on the charts.
call out the instigators number one.
That would have been cool, you know what? Like a close up of a DJ's lips near a microphone, going,
oh,
"Hey,
the radio host.
It's Triple J here, and we've got Black Alice. He's number one." Like,
exactly.
There you go.
We love you, Black Alice.
Because there wasn't enough of that sort of. I mean, again, this movie. I did a little bit of reading, and the only thing I could find was an interview with what's our boy's name?
Gary Keady.
It was an interview with him leading up to the time I saw it. It was like an SBS interview advertising the night that we went to. And that was the only thing I could find. Like, you go on IMDb, there's like fuck all there. Like, even their website's quite difficult to sort of decipher. Yeah. You know, a lot of caps lock.
Web 1.0, I think, is the format.
But yeah, they capture Black Alice and they kind of torture him. They put like some little control device at his neck. And
Alice is saying, like, the warhead, the sub that you've got in the harbour is way more dangerous than I am and what I can do with my fucking rebellion and stuff. I got no time for limp-wristed antics, shit like that. I bet you're the type that picks his underpants out with his finger while he talks to you.
And that's
Black Alice talking to one of the...
That's an ongoing thing because they have... That character do it.
Yeah, he's always picking his ass while he's talking about it. Yeah. Not funny. I've written this dialogue far out.
Yeah.
They're trying to trick Black Alice into complying to something, pitching it as a hologram that he can immortalize himself as a rock and roll hologram and reach more people and can spread out. They're like, which is really, like, I was pretty impressed with that sort of logic.
What a prediction.
At that now. Like, I was just, I just finished listening to this podcast where they interviewed Dio's wife. Well, you know, Dio.
Yeah.
Ride the Tiger! And they've immortalized it and they made him into a hologram. And they're touring around with this fucking Dio hologram that does gigs and shit.
Tupac as well.
There's a bit of a Freddie Mercury holo going on. There's shit like that going everywhere.
Yeah, well, mate, Gary, you really fucking nailed it with this one, man.
Maybe if you were just like a better writer or a better visualist, like, you would have got your fucking vision out there, mate. Look, I can sort of see where you're coming from, but just don't get so hung up that it didn't work out for you, mate.
To be fair, in that interview that I read, apparently they'd been guaranteed a $3 million budget.
Oh, right.
And then it all fell through. They ended up with $800,000.
Oh, Gaz.
And he said every day on set, he was like, the original script was like 130 pages or something. And every day on set, pages were getting ripped out because he was like, we can't afford it.
Shit.
So I think maybe if he had his vision, like, I think the movie could much, you know, there's much more of a chance that it would have been a bit more fluid. The jokes would have stayed the same.
Yeah.
But you would have understood the story a bit more, I think.
Knowing that now, though, like, maybe I'll give one of his books a read and see.
Oh, man. I'm kind of tempted.
A bit of a vision there, yeah.
On their website, they also sell a Black Alice vinyl.
Yeah, you could get. I'm going to get one.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking about it, dude. There's only, like, 30 copies or something made, but like,
don't get us wrong, I think we really enjoyed this film.
We're slagging it off a bit, but like, we really enjoyed this movie. So yeah, he gets turned into like a hologram sort of thing, right?
Well, that was the initial pitch. They were just kind of like, we just need to read your DNA and then we can take it from there. But she subdues him, she like paralyzes him, they inject this serum into him, like a molecularizer.
It's like this really cool, like, glow in the dark gack.
Yeah, going up his veins and stuff. Pretty cool effects.
Yeah.
Pretty cool makeup.
I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, he's got these veins that are activated by black lights. But then I thought, you know what? It's literally just,
you can,
like,
do that. Yeah.
You can do that at like midnight bowling. You know, when the balls glow green and stuff and the pins and stuff. It's just midnight bowling lights.
Yeah.
But very good use of them.
Very good use. I think people forget sometimes, you know, when a movie's on a budget, people like solve problems. And sometimes the simplest shit works out to be very effective.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a Cyberman robot, like from Doctor Who.
Yeah,
like,
it does look like a
Cyberman. They've got this robot with crab claws. It sounds like a Cyberman. More fucking grunting I've put down. I love the 80s guitar solos, that like when there's a scene change, there will just be like this.
The scene changes are funny too, because they're like really funny, sort of like sometimes the frame will turn like a comic panel.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was like spin.
Or a lightning, or like similar to a star wipe.
Yeah.
Something like
that. Yeah, they get really creative with it. They have a lot of fun with it. But yeah, he gets injected with his app, and then this is where
specimen. I'm not a urine sample, dude. Sorry, that was another little.
He picked up on so many more of his lines.
Yeah, and he drops his eight ball. So
that's right.
Oh my god.
Yeah, his lucky eight ball.
Once he gets subdued and injected, the eight ball, which is very take note of that, ladies and gentlemen.
But then he gets, I think, transported. This is where it gets tough for me. I don't know if he's transported, turned into a hologram or whatever, but he appears in the futuristic Sydney of 2127, and immediately, like, he appears in this cool, like, monkey type graphics, a lightning and shit, and there are two barbarians.
Gets activated by the two barbarians in the future.
That's right.
They switch this switch. They find these like this old like archive relic thing. They switch on some switch in the lab, and everything's working fine after 100 years or so. And
yeah,
Black Alice like reanimates and breaks into the song. Yeah. They bring him back. There's Conan the Barbarian. There's Barbarella. Just in time for another song. Oh, and this is the scene. So this song is pretty much what the short film was based on. The reanimation of like someone from the past that like tells about blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Black Alice, he's working out that something ain't right. He's reanimated, but he's not in the right. He doesn't know he's in the future yet. He's like, what the fuck's going on? He's got the hots for this like scantily clad Neanderthal woman.
He like sexually assaults her.
Yeah, he grabs her a bunch of times. Like, thankfully Conan the Barbarian's right behind her. He steps in. They're squabbling the whole time. They both want her. He finds some melted bodies that melted bodies. It looks like Pompeii.
Yeah, but also like. Again, looks like it could be an Easter show.
ghost train background. Then they get to like Duffo's hideout. So he's like the evil. There's the brother and sister scientist. Mm-hmm. There's Hope. There's Sector.
Oh, that's his damn name.
Yeah, he locks her up, and so she can't, you know, save the day or whatever. And then now the future, he's still alive. He's like part cyborg.
Yeah.
They don't really explain how he stay alive.
He's got a clone that's like a dwarf. He's cloned himself and is a dwarf. And it's like...
Who has an American accent, though? Yeah.
But it's like, what's going on there? Is he like fucking that thing?
He's got to be. He's got like this perversion in this movie.
Yeah.
And that's what you're sort of... You're like, why else would he?
Yeah. But he's been... And then he breaks into
a song. They break into a song and they explain, like...
And it's one of the worst songs.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's, like, one of those, like... Not really... It doesn't really even sort of sing
a
melody. It's, like, one of those spoken, like, I've got you now.
Like, it's clear that Duffy's got a great voice.
Yeah.
But it's just the song itself. It's meant to be, like...
It's the explanation.
It's meant to be,
are, Black Alice. This is what's happened to you.
But it doesn't really work because he's sort of like... I came down here to learn and read. And then he repeats it. And it's like, any more info? No,
cool. That's it. That's it. 113 years later. I'd kill for a cigarette. Would you care for a fag instead?
Yeah, there you go. Poor old Jeff Duff is probably used to those kind of gags being on the Paul Hogan show back in the day.
So, yeah, in the future, the nuke had gone off. The sub in the city had obviously gone off. And all the Neanderthals and stuff, like living on the surface, just copulate. That's all I got. So there's just all these like breeding Neanderthals, like
but that up have, on the surface, have like reverted to this weird kind of barbarian sword swinging.
And so Black Alice is like, yeah, well, how do I fucking get out of this then?
Yeah.
He's like, well, you're only slightly reanimated. You're going to decompose in about 10 hours. I can tell you how to do that. It's quite possible that we could save you, but you've got to get into my lab, which I can't do because there's a freak. There's like a mutated freak between here and the lab. So he takes them into the weapons room.
Got me happening weapons.
Happening weapons. Have I got that down? Yeah, no, mate. So, yeah, because I'm doing the happening count. So, yeah, he says that. Happening weapons, that's number three. Then he picks up a rocket launcher and he goes, happening. Then one of the barbarians goes, happening. And then someone else says, happening. So I've got like 4, 5, 6.
He's like, right on, you're learning fast.
Yeah, you're learning fast. So they get, one of them gets a pistol with one bullet. Black Alice gets 3 rockets for his rocket launcher and sets one off.
He shoots it into a porno poster of a girl's asshole. Remember that? The rocket flies into this...
I must have just looked away for that split second.
The rocket shoots out, flies into the arsehole of it like a Playboy man on the wall and blows it up.
Happening. Black Alice and Conan the Barbarian is still fighting over the other one, Barbarella. And then what's he say? Duffy goes, I hope she doesn't get a glimpse of my weapon.
Oh, yeah. Back in school, they called me Tripod.
Is that why you walk so funny?
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's what we... Yeah, anyway. So, cut the wisecrack, short ass. Used to be Tripod at school. Yeah, we said that. Could go for a Vegemite sandwich and a cold beer, he says.
That was like
a little Australian flavour in there. Yeah. Finally. Because we're actually treated to a few good backdrops.
I love the fact that they didn't try to set it anywhere else. They were like, yeah, it's Sydney.
Sydney. It's sandstone sick. Buildings. Like, yeah. I recognise so many buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
Alice goes, like, he opts to hunt for the freak to, you know, save his life and take him back to the past. Yeah.
Now I've got this under control. Yeah, what I'd give for a Vegemite sandwich and a cold beer. If only the boys in the band could see me now. Alice hunts the freak.
But it turns out that the scientist and his little person friend are just fucking with him by the sound. Rig him up with this like walkie-talkie thing, so it's like, alright, turn left, turn right. But they're actually just like, yeah, they fuck him up with a freak.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they've been there for 100-odd years. Like, wouldn't they like to see a bit of change? Like, they've been...
Yeah, you'd think they'd want to stop what happened. Although maybe he's really happy just having sex with his dwarf.
Yeah, and then just...
In the future.
Here comes Black House. Ooh, yeah. Let's have some fun.
Well, do you want to take a quick music break? I mean, normally we cut to our beautiful theme song composed by Kurt Mikarian, but I think we might actually cut to a Black Alice track. What do you reckon?
Chuck in a Black Alice song.
All right, beauty.
Happening. His pirate puffy shirt is sort of like
ripped
deteriorating
away.
He's decomposing as well. He's like, you know, falling apart.
Yeah, he's coughing and feeling crook and stuff.
He goes, I think the freak has had a shit here. And then he breaks the fourth wall, looks at the camera and goes, I hope I don't step in it.
That's right, I forgot about that. Yeah, he totally breaks the fourth wall.
And he's doing his own theme music too. Like there's the overdub of him like I think we're up to like happening number 6 here. Yeah. Like, he does the shuckers as well. It's like happening.
Yeah. But then he starts getting really sick and decomposing. He's like vomiting up gack, you know.
Yeah.
And then we get another track where he's like singing this song called Tonight There Is Love, and it's like a slow kind of love song, yeah. And he's singing it in St. James Railway Station.
St. James, yeah.
It hasn't changed too much, thankfully. No.
And there's like, the camera struggles to fit him in and the title.
Graffiti.
Yeah, the graffiti, which is Tonight There Is Love. And like as the camera pans across, it sort of like jilts to a stop and then goes, all right, a few degrees more. Like trying to fit it in. Yeah. It's like really struggling. St. James Station, yeah. And a lot of it would have been, like, in the train station.
Yeah.
Like, tunnels and stuff like that.
Yeah. A lot of that future stuff is filmed in those weird tunnels that underground are under Sydney. Yeah. There was a whole film, I can't remember what it's called now. It was an Aussie horror movie. We might have to do it in the future. It's not very good, but it's like one of those found footage movies where they go into
the... Oh, is it called The Tunnel?
Yes, that's it.
I've seen it, mate. Yeah. They go into Sydney Tunnel because there's homeless people going missing and like delinquents who do graffiti going missing.
There's like creatures or something down there. It's a bit like The Descent, but on a really cheap budget.
That's it, yeah. I quite liked it, eh?
We should do that. We should find that and do that. That's a pretty funny movie.
I'll just rewind a little bit. So as Black Alice is decomposing, he kills the freak. He shoots her with a bazooka. Dick flies off or something like that, you know. He's continuously perving on Barbarella. Conan has this like key or like some sort of like medallion that he wears around his neck.
Like some steel eagle or
something. And this is really unexplained. Again, would have loved the narrator to come in here, but they somehow, I don't know how they make the connection, but they put the little key in this mannequin who's like lying down, God. And the legs spread open. There's light emanating from the snatch of this mannequin, and then it opens up and reveals a motorcycle.
Yeah, this motorbike just drives out of this mannequin's pussy.
That they call the Shine. Like, I never got the like, this is the Shine. This is the Shine. And then Sons of Steel ride the Shine.
First time it's ever mentioned, Sons of Steel. Yeah. And we don't know what it means.
No. And then we get
no idea.
We get Happening number 7. Happening. The motorcycle comes out. Happening. Wardrobe change for Sector, who's the guy with the little person clone. Yeah. They just all of a sudden they're wearing different clothes now.
Oh yeah, he's in full drag this time. He's he's dressed like, I don't know, like Liza Minnelli or some shit. And he's, Dwarf is always dressed in the same way as he is. Then they send him back while he's like suffering and he's like melting away.
That's right.
He gets to
the lab, they get the thing, they get the Shine. Yeah, they send him back.
And then 88 or 1988.
And then old mate scientist is like, can you save my sister? Like, back in the past, I locked her away. I really regret it. Can you do that for me, Black Alice? And it's just as well he did because she helps out a lot. She
puts on some pretty cool motorcycle stunts.
That's right. So he reanimates back into the present, picks up his 8-ball. It's still lying there, so... Important. Gonna take note of that. He's real happy about his 8-ball being back. He saves Hope. The Cyberman comes again. The little the robot.
He keeps calling it, big vibrator.
The ferry's going to collide with the sub and blow.
So he's got to go and stop that. Now the third act is him trying to. He's got an hour to run to Sydney Harbour and stop the ferry colliding with.
And he's got Hope, the good scientist. Quite a good looking scientist. He's given her a perv, but she's all over Black Alice too.
Oh, she loves it. Dude.
Yeah, she catches him on the stairs. They're running up the stairwell, and she's like, "Is this where we kiss?" And he's like, "No kissing. Things are gonna get hard. Can you handle that?"
Yeah.
And then she calls him Beetlehead. So it's like, a bit of banter, a bit of romance going on here. Beetlehead, can you handle my heart? Things are going to get hard. He's looking at you, kid, and he winks at the camera again. That's fast.
He's looking at you, kid.
It's so bad. It doesn't work. I don't know why they do it, but yeah.
Black Alice and Hope fight their way out. So it's like reverse Mr. System now. He's going back down. He's like killing all the goons.
Electrocutes two people.
Yeah, he electrocutes a guy that fingers his own bum.
That's right.
When he talks to people. he breaks through a door, like leaves it like a cutout of like a Duke Nukem silhouette. Yeah. Like he just like walks through a door. It's just... perfect cutout of like this like huge a buff dude. Yeah.
And then he goes back and finds
they go back and find the motorbike. The mannequin. The Sons of Steel motorbike. they hop on that. They drive up like through one of the
St. James,
yeah.
They drive up the staircase,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, this part is really awesome. Like they clearly, I don't think they had
any. Gary was saving the budget for this bit.
Yeah, yeah, and it saved the budget for the first bit and the last bit, I reckon.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's like police cars driving down the stairs and crashing. Yeah. And
they get out of that and Hope goes, do we kiss yet? And he's like, no, get out of here. He hops on the bike and then says, happening. We got happening number 9. hectic bike stunt, right? Yeah. Here. I've got to mention this. So Hope's like driving away. She's getting to the ferry. He's going to find his own way to the ferry. She goes up like this jump or like rides up a car, but then hits the side of the tunnel and falls off, and it looks fucking hectic. It looks
so bad. That stunt person got so axed.
But then there's the overdub of her like getting up and dusting herself off, going, "Oh jeez, I hope Black Alice didn't see me."
Yeah, I reckon what happened is the stunt failed. That guy got axed, but they were like, "It's a pretty good stunt. We'll just leave it in.
Let's keep it." Black Alice steals a car, and he's going through the tape collection in the car, finds one of his songs,
yep.
Says happening for the 10th time in the movie, and then we get another like Black Alice video clip as he's driving through. Every now and again he starts like, you know, miming the words of the song, like he's singing along. And then we get another song. Black Alice didn't make it to the ferry. He takes his shirt off in anger.
Yeah.
So now we've got like full topless Black Alice now, full roids, full roid muscles popping out. And he gives the shine. So he's got the key to that motorcycle fucking bizzo that we know nothing about. But then you find like, it's the same actor who played the sexy Neanderthal. Yeah. And he's like, hey, you look familiar. He's like, take this and give it to your offspring and, you know, save the world or whatever. Like, so he's got a backup plan. He just gives it to this like junky descendant of Barbarella. Black Ellis gets a speedboat or hijacks a speedboat, catches up with Hope on the ferry. Hope climbs into the ferry and starts, you know, getting almost raped by Black Ellis's bandmates. His final bout, like the big sort of like, all right, boss versus boss, you know, this is the boss level. It's his mate that he just used to hang out with the Octagon Club.
It's him fighting punks that are on the boat that are all meant to be like peace advocates.
Yeah.
But it's just for no reason. They just get into this brawl. I couldn't really work out why everyone was fighting Black Alice.
Yeah, so it's a huge fight on the ferry. It's raining. It's like, oh, go back to the car chase, mate. We're driving through like King's Cross and shit. You see the big Coke sign.
Yeah, it's still there.
Anyway, so they get onto the ferry. They it seems like it's all over and they've saved the day, but they knock out the captain of the ferry and he like hits the wheel to one side, and that's actually what steers the ferry left into the sub. It crashes into the sub and then the nuke goes off.
And then
we got a voiceover. It's not the narrator,
the film cuts and goes into like a negative mode. It like inverts the colours and stuff. And it's like,
is that a happening way to end the story? Blowing our heroes away. Okay, take it back. Alice, give them a happy end.
I don't believe.
They go back and they save the day, and then instead of saying the end, it says the beginning? ? Gary's got his books all lined up.
He's got a whole world in there, you know.
Only took him March 2019 to launch book one of Sons of Steel in the series. Why was he so hung up on Black Alice and Sons of Steel, do you reckon?
I reckon he just poured so much of his life into it, you know? Like, I think he nearly killed himself, like, just exhausting himself over making that movie.
And didn't he move move away from Australia after it all flopped? And
yeah, his wife left him. She fucked off to England apparently with their kid, and then he was like, this movie flopped. He couldn't get home release for it. He had like distributors that were interested, but then when the time came, nobody wanted to play it. Nobody wanted to. The only distributor that was like, "I'm going to put it out on videotape for you," they went bankrupt just as he was like ready with the movie. The copy that we watched was just a rip from the VHS that he had because they tried to find the film reels and the film reels were gone. And they'd been destroyed. I actually got onto the National Film and Sound Archive website and searched for Sons of Steel. Nothing came up. Which is insane. Like, anyone out there that has any sway in the Film and Sound Archive, like, we need to get this movie archived.
Get it up there.
We need to get it recognised. It's a really important movie, I think.
Oh, my God.
It's, you know, it's got so many plot holes. It's complete mess, but it looks so good.
Yeah.
Sounds fucking awesome. It's like shot in Sydney. It's like
as you're going all the way through, even like the amount of confusion that it like generates for you.
Yeah.
It's just, you're still watching it. You're still like just hooked.
It is a really good looking movie. You know, like they really made that $800,000 stretch.
Can you imagine if they did the prison stream with Black Alice at that movie night that you went to?
That would have been amazing.
Imagine if like it just like syncs up, he pops up and he just goes, "Happening." He's there, he's got like fucking spider tattoos on his face.
There's some guy getting shanked in the background. So all over, I think we both really love the movie, right?
Yeah, man.
I'm so disappointed. Like I love the fact that you know, I've got this copy and we're able to talk about it. I'm so glad to have seen it. But I really think that, you know, I think Umbrella should pick it up. Umbrella Australia. I know you're all about, like, you know, doing remasters of things and stuff. I think just put this out because...
Get it out of there.
Yeah. Chuck it on. More people need to see it. It's such a... It needs a cult. It's a cult movie without a cult.
Exactly. Like Houseboat Horror that we did a while ago. Like, that turned into a cult. That got a cult following. Yeah. We got to pick it for this one to do the same. Sons of Steel.
We really need to lobby. I really think Umbrella needs to put out a DVD. Interview the remaining cast. Get into to whatever prison Black Alice is in, allegedly, and do an interview. We need all those special features. This movie just cannot...
I wonder if Black Alice... Hartley is a broken man in prison now. Like, he played such a macho. Like, you'd think he'd be the king of the prison, but in reality...
Well, he doesn't have access to his roids.
I'm so scared.
His muscles are just wasting away. He's got a little dick. Like, all the things that come with steroid abuse.
Hey, Rob! Happening! Oh, fuck! So I started combing through the credits, which looked like they'd been made on one of the free programs that I used in high school to.
I think the credits came later. Maybe his videotape just sort of stopped.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it ran out or something.
Don't know if you noticed, but the sound, the final mix of all the audio and music and stuff was mixed at Albert Studios. We got Easy Beats fame, Van and Young.
No way.
Yeah, AC/DC.
Massive.
Albert Studios. The workout centre that Rob worked out at, the gym that Black Alice was credited, the Fitness Network Centre in Sydney. I wonder if that still exists. I'd love to know. And there was a special thanks to David Stratton and Margaret Pomerantz.
Yeah, I did find footage of Margaret from way, 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 way back in the 80s talking about it. I'll have to put that on our Twitter.
I loved this film. It had the grotesqueness, the provocative attitude.
It was rude.
The seediness. David?
I thought it was horrible.
No, he loves Australian movies. He fucking loves them, dude.
He's got their backs every time.
Always. If you do want to find us on Twitter, that's at AU Cinema Talk. Facebook, it's like / Aussie Cinema Talk. Website, aussiecinematalk.com.au. Anything else to add? I guess this will be around Christmas time. So Merry Christmas.
Have a happening Christmas.
Have a happening Christmas, happening New Year. Stay cool, everyone. Stay very hydrated. I just read today that meteorologists are predicting the hottest day on record next week.
Oh, yeah.
40 degrees in the city. So, yeah, everyone stay cool and have a bloody good Christmas. You know? Look after yourselves.
All the best. Until another episode, until next time, signing off. You've been listening to another episode of Aussie Timber Talk with me, Tim.
And me, Dom. Thanks for listening.